الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي دروشي بالله Respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Inshallah ta'ala, in tonight's session of Dars-e Hadith, I wish to speak on the family members of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. Alhamdulillah, we have covered the iman of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, the iman of the mother of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and the father, the other family members, and some of the financial support in the beginning that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, tonight's session we dedicate to the wives and to the children of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When we talk about the wives of Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een, it is very important to understand that we are not talking about something in the year 2005. In the year 2005, we the Muslims, our thinking is very, very different as compared to the real true spirit of Islam, which was visible with the companions, Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een. In the 7th century, 1400 years ago, the Arabs initially were pagans, polytheists, mushrikeen, whatever name you want to give them. And they had a lot of bad and ill habits inside them. But the minute Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them, everything was pure and clean. It was about following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are so weak today that the fuqaha have had to derive masail out of every hadith and the verses of the Quran. We look into something being farz, something being farz-e kifaya, something that is wajib, something that is sunan, sunan-e muakkada, ghair muakkada, then we go into mustahabbat, then we go into karahiyat, then it is makruh-e tahrimi, makruh-e tanzihi. These are the terminologies that the fuqaha have had to derive due to the fact that we as Muslims are very, very weak. But in the time of Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een, there was no such thing as sunnat-e muakkada. There was no such thing as sunnat-e ghair muakkada. There was no such thing as something being wajib. For them, everything was to follow Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for them everything was wajib and in the category of farz. Whatever Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam did, sami'na wa ata'na. We listen and we obey. We listen and we obey. That is very, very important. That is why dil ke kaan se sune. Listen with the ear of the heart. Dil ke kaan se sune. And I use this term intentionally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, lahum qulubun la yafqahuna biha. There are some people, they have hearts, but hearts that don't understand. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. And that they have eyes, but eyes that cannot see. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. And they have ears, but ears that cannot hear. Hear the truth, haqq. أولئك كالأنعام. Allah says they are like beasts, animals. بل هم أضل, even worse. Why? They suffer. أولئك هم الغافلون. They are all غافل, heedless people. They listen, but they don't listen with their hearts. They don't want to take in haqq. The ruh is so weak that they can't understand what is haqq and what is batil. In the time of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in, everything was very, very different, my respected brothers. These were mukhlisin people. These were the people who dearly loved Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Come what may, dunya would say to them, family members would say to them, as long as Allah and His Messenger is happy, that is sufficient for them. Subhanallah. And one of the great striking features of the companions is that in the country we live in, we have ladies who are single parent ladies who are supported by the government. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. But in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the teachings of Rasulullah was very much different. Before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if a lady was divorced, they would not even want to look at her, whether she was 16, 17, 18, 19. In fact, in the time of Jahiliyyah, there were different areas outside from the main city, in the suburbs, where ladies would be living, only ladies, and only those ladies would reside there who are divorced or widows. Nobody would come to even see them, greet them. Family members would cut off from them totally. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and he changed the entire system straight away. And it was well adopted by the companions, Sahaba-i Kiram Ajmain. This is why we have a sickness in our community today, that is delay in nikah. Delay in nikah. When you delay in nikah, this is where the branch of homosexuality, gays and lesbians, this is where they come from. This is delay in nikah. And this is where it comes from. This is one shah when you look at it. Subhanallah al-Azim. And Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in, they were the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let me just quote what Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anha had said. He said, if I was to die in 10 days, if the physician told me that you are so ill that you've only got 10 days to live, and I am in that state that I am not married, I'm a single person, and I know that I only have 10 days to live, then in the 10 days I will make nikah. This is how important nikah is in Islam. Min sunanil mursaleen. Today the thinking of our women is very, very different. Why? Because we the Muslims come from the subcontinent and we are affected by the Hindu culture that is still inside us when the different festivals and occasions take place, nikah especially, a lot of things that take place, it is anti-Islam. It has got nothing to do with Islam. Now he's got 10 days to live. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud is saying, I'd rather meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the condition of nikah. Let me put one question forward to the brothers that are here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. Yes? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a beautiful residence in Jannah. Nothing is more beautiful than Jannah. And even whilst in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for Adam alayhi salatu wa salam by his power, kun fayakun, from the rib of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, the wife of Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Hawa. If Allah wanted, Allah would have given Adam alayhi salam a mother and a father. What would stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Allah says in the Quran, and Allah explains to us the status of mother and father, but yet in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam, created for him a spouse, a partner, a wife. This is how natural it is to get married. And there should be no delay in nikah. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala, and two of his wives passed away at the same time. There was an epidemic in one area, ta'un, plague, and both of the wives passed away. And Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala, and straight away, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking for the right partner. It is said that Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, the most striking feature of the companions was that whenever they would find out that there is a lady who is divorced, or there is a lady who is a widow, or someone, there is a lady for some reason she is not married, then without delay the companions would go and send their khitab, proposal, to the women straight away. And this was the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they are most unique examples of it throughout the ahadith. We talk about one particular lady, Hazrat Atika radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was married to the son of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Abdullah. Hazrat Abdullah was a very handsome man, son of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He married Hazrat Atika, and both of them were the best of couples. Insha'Allah ta'ala, I will discuss how the shahadat, how Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr passed away. But to cut it short, Hazrat Abdullah, when he passed away, who came for the nikah with Hazrat Atika? Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab found out that Atika is the widow of Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an sent someone to ask Atika that Umar Farooq wishes to marry you. And Hazrat Atika, she says that, oh, I had promised my husband that if he was to die before me, then my promise is that I will not marry anyone. And for that, he even gave me a garden, a hadiq, that means it's a garden, as a gift. So how can I marry you, O Umar, though you are an incredible person? And she loved him so much that when he passed away, she said that, O Abdullah, and these were ladies who would fluently read and speak out poetry in the language. So in poetry she says that, O, remember the soul of Abdullah bin Ibn Abu Bakr, that your wife Atika will never marry, and that the sun and the night will never see any form of beauty on Atika, for your death is a great tragedy for me. And Hazrat Umar Farooq went to her and she said that, no, it is impossible for me. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said that, Atika, if you don't wish to marry me, it is fine, but certainly some of the conditions that you have put forward, it is better if you go and ask someone if it is jaiz or not jaiz. And she went to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and she asked Hazrat Ali that these are the conditions, my husband has passed away. Hazrat Ali says, no, you should marry Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Why? In the times that we live in, we see that the ladies who are single, we are opening the door of zina. Zina. I personally know, and I'm not mentioning any names, I personally, some of the Muslim women who have got najayiz ta'alluq with non-Muslims. Ek to koi Sikh Musliman aurat ke saath ta'alluq. Allahu Akbar. And one of the signs of qiyamah is talaq. Little argument, talaq. Little argument, talaq. Little argument, talaq. There is no power when you make nikah, you say, bhai, tumne kabool kiya, and he's happy, ji haan, maine kabool kiya. Maine kabool kiya. Mushtaq, you're listening to me, huh? Maine kabool kiya. Mushtaq is listening to me. Alhamdulillah. So, maine kabool kiya, this is something that you have to honor. Only in dire circumstances. Tufi Shariat has even given us a leeway that for some reason, if it is there is no compatibility and one's deen and dunya is completely different, then okay. And that is even after consulting some of the scholars so that at least they can give you the right mashwira. So Hazrat Ali is giving mashwira with khulus. And Hazrat Umar Farooq marries who? Hazrat Naam bole na? Atika. Fir poochte hai Mauli sahab, koi achha naam hai, bachi hui hai ghar pe. Sune, sahabiyat ke naam. Hazrat Atika. Thake to nahi na? Hazrat Atika. Allah ki shaan, Hazrat Umar Farooq also was made shaheed. Hazrat Abdullah was made shaheed. Now in the nikah of Hazrat Atika, who is made shaheed? Hazrat Umar Farooq. Won't go into detail. When Hazrat Umar Farooq was made shaheed, what happened? Subhanallah, how mukhlis were the companions. Hazrat Zubair bin Awam proposes now to Hazrat Atika. Remember we talked about Hazrat Zubair bin Awam being the great mujahid, very powerful, when he said that it is not the sword, it is the hand that has got the power. Do you remember that? Batuina. Hazrat Zubair bin Awam got married to Hazrat Atika. Allah ki shan, that Hazrat Zubair also got shaheed. So how many people got shaheed in the nikah of Hazrat Atika? Three. Hazrat Abdullah, Hazrat Umar, or Hazrat Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala. Subhanallah. Now, even after three shahadat, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an proposes to Hazrat Atika. How simple. For them it was not a question of what will people think and what will the other folks say. Wait, Ameen kya kahega, falan admi kya kahega, falan admi kya kahega. It was not that. It was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Hazrat Ali, it was the time of Khilafat, and Hazrat Ali says, I wish to marry you. Hazrat Atika must be that great privileged lady. So Hazrat Atika smiled at Hazrat Ali. And she was in parda fully. And she said that the women folks are here and I have done mashwira. Oh Ali, Amirul Mu'mineen, I don't wish for you to become shaheed. I don't wish for you to become shaheed. She says, because all my husbands who have made nikah with me have become shaheed. And you are very, very important for Islam. So I fear if you make nikah with me, you might even become shaheed. So Hazrat Atika says that you should not marry me. And Hazrat Ali smiled and he went away. But these are just some of the examples. Look at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala's life. First wife was Qatila bint Abdul Uzza. Qatila bint Abdul Uzza. There is ikhtilaf. A lot of the scholars say that Qatila did not embrace Islam. In fact, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha had given her divorce talaq in the time of Jahiliyyah. In the time of Jahiliyyah, before Nabuwat. And she is the mother of two of the children of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anha. The second wife, the most famous wife of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an, is Hazrat Rahman bint Amir radiallahu ta'ala an. Rahman, she was an incredible lady. Muslim historians say that she was very much like her husband. Insan ka bara asar hota hai. Who you stay with, that is how you become. She benefited from the companionship of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. She was also the wife, but she benefited. It is said that she benefited so greatly that her namaz and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu's namaz was completely the same. She would say that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, my husband, taught me how to do ruku' and how to do sujood. And I would read salah and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq would look at me and go around me. And after my salah, he would say, I think your ruku should be like this, I think your ruku should be like that. More concentration. Until the level of concentration was so high, the ulama say that she was very much like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. She is also famous because she is the mother of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Rumman is also one from the three who has this status, holds this great honor, that Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam only entered into the graves of three females, three ladies. And this maqam status is given to none other. For Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, for him to enter into the grave, and for him to make dua of maghfirat and rahmat in the grave, it is an honor at the highest level. And one of them is the wife of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Rumman, and in relation she is also the mother-in-law to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When they were putting her body, lowering it down into the grave, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked at the janazah of Hazrat Rumman and said to the companions, any one of you wish to see the ahur from Jannah in this dunya, then look at Rumman, the wife of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Subhanallah, what a lady she must be. What honor, subhanallah, what taqwa. And the other ladies were Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra and the wife of Abu Talib, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. These were the only three ladies. If you look at the books of tariq, only three ladies who have this honor that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for them. So this honor was given to Hazrat Rumman binti Amir, and she is the mother of Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Abdul Rahman. Then we come to Hazrat Asma binti Umais radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Asma binti Umais, she was married to Hazrat Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, and the brother of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Asma and Hazrat Ja'far were the first people to migrate to Abyssinia, and Hazrat Ja'far was a great orator. That is why when he came to Ethiopia and the Christians were there, and he spoke to them and he read some of the verses of Surah Maryam and said, this is the teaching of the Quran and this is what our Prophet has taught us. The king gave refuge to the Muslims and honored the Muslims, and this was due to the powerful speech of Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. He stayed in Africa for a long period of time, and only after many years he returned back to Madinatul Munawwara, and Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave basharat of Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala in the Battle of Muta. When Zayd bin Harisa was made shaheed, then the banner of Islam came to Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an. When it came to the Hazrat Ja'far, the kuffar were close to him and they actually struck him with their sword and the right arm was cut off completely. So then he was holding the banner of Islam with his left hand, and then they cut off the left hand also completely. And then what he did is that he sort of coiled up and embraced and hugged the banner, but did not let it fall until Shahadat came to him. So Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an was married to Hazrat Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala an. After the Shahadat of Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an married Hazrat Asma bint Umais radiallahu ta'ala an. And from Hazrat Asma bint Umais, Hazrat Muhammad bin Abu Bakr was born. So one of the names of the sons of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is also Muhammad. Here we see a single name, which is just Muhammad. Some of the people say that, oh no, it is no respect that you just call your child with one name as it being Muhammad. It should be Muhammad Yusuf or Muhammad Abdullah or Muhammad something. Then if you give him two names, usually what happens is never known by that first name Muhammad. So it is jaiz for a child or for a boy to have this one single name, which is Muhammad. We see that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu's son, his name was Muhammad bin Abu Bakr. And then finally, the fourth wife of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was Habiba bint Kharija. She was again someone very special to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. She was a Madani. She was the Ansari lady who married Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. The rest were all from Makkah, Muhajireen, and she was the Ansari Sahabiyat. She married Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. If you remember, on the very last day when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was not there. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was much better. Rasulullah gave him permission to go to Maqam Sanah, where it is the suburb of Madinatul Munawwara, where Hazrat Habiba was living, for Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq to go and visit her. And then news was given to him whilst he was in Sanah. So he was at the house of Hazrat Habiba bint Kharija. And from Hazrat Habiba bint Kharija radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter that was born, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, named her Hazrat Kulsum radiallahu ta'ala anha. So these are the wives of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. All of them embraced Islam with the exception of Qatla or Qatila. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is the only Sahabi who has this honor that all four generations of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq are all Muslims, embraced Islam and are Sahabiya, Sahabi. This honor is not given to anyone else. Very quickly, inshallah ta'ala, we will address the children of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Here we have Hazrat Abdul Rahman, son of Hazrat Rahman. Hazrat Abdul Rahman, he is the only son who embraced Islam very late in his life. Very late. In fact, it was after Sulh Hudaybiyah. That is why he would even fight against the Muslims for the Quraysh. The Quraysh needed Hazrat Abdul Rahman because Hazrat Abdul Rahman was a very strong soldier for the Quraysh. It is said that every time the Quraysh went to fight with any community, anyone outside of Arabia, Hazrat Abdul Rahman would be there in the front saf. Very powerful man, very strong. That is why the famous conversation between son and father, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Abdul Rahman, once when they met, he was obviously, the father was old and the son was very strong. So he said to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq that I was in the front saf. You didn't see me, but I saw you. The son has this fatherly love, and so I spared you, oh my dear father. I spared you, oh my dear father. Abu Bakr Siddiq was Jalali. He stood up and he said, you spared me. You spared me. Wallah, in the name of Allah, if Abu Bakr Siddiq had seen you, Abu Bakr Siddiq would have displayed the highest level of love for Allah and His Messenger by killing you. Why? Because at that time you were the enemy of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. None is greater to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala than the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. This was the iman. And that is why he is the only one from the family of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and to embrace Islam very late in the life. Hazrat Rahman, again, one of the first category, the first batch of mu'mineen and mu'minat, she is one of them. Hazrat Abdullah, again, the son of Hazrat Qatila or Qatla, pronounced in both ways. Hazrat Abdullah, he received an injury when the Muslims put a siege to Taif. and an arrow was struck in his direction and it hit him straight on the chest. So Hazrat Abdullah was again a very strong man. He did not die immediately, but it is said that he died later on in the time when Khilafat was given to his father. Some of them say, Muhaddiseen, Mu'arrikheen have said that on the 40th day when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was given Khilafat, 40 days after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Abdullah passed away. And it is said the cause of death was also the injury that he received from that arrow that was struck at him at the siege of Ta'if. There is also one very important incident that had taken place, that this arrow that had killed the son of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and he attained that high honor of Shahadat, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had kept that arrow. Imagine the difficulty that he must have had to go through. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Khilafat is on his shoulder. He has to tackle all the difficult situations, the munafiqin in the masjid. And after 40 days, his beloved son, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala an, passes away. How difficult it must be for Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Nevertheless, this arrow he kept. And when the delegations of Taif came to visit Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, after their conversation, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq with the group of people that were there looked at them and said to them that, does any of you recognize this arrow? Do any of you recognize this arrow? Obviously they were not aware as to why Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was saying this. And one of them very gladly stood up and he said, Amirul Mu'mineen, this arrow belongs to me. And he said, Amirul Mu'mineen, this is the arrow that I had sharpened with my own hands, and I had stuck the feathers to it, and I was the one who struck it. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said, and this is the arrow that killed my son. So he did not know what to say. He was very clever, and straight away he said, well, glad tidings for you and your son, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Your son, Allah gave him the maqam of shahadat through this arrow, and Allah gave me hidayat. So both of us, inshaAllah, will go to Jannah. So both of us, inshaAllah, will go to Jannah. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and just smiled at him. What a great man he was. He was an incredible man. Subhanallah al-Azim. So this is Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr, who was married to Hazrat Atika radiallahu ta'ala. And the other son is Hazrat Muhammad bin Abu Bakr. Muhammad was the son of Hazrat Asma bint Umais. Now, we talk about Shia and Sunni, and that they say that Hazrat Ali alayhi billah did not get on well with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. This is a known fact that the love between Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Abu Bakr was such that Hazrat Ali had taken into his own care the son of Hazrat Abu Bakr, Muhammad bin Abu Bakr. Muhammad bin Abu Bakr spent his entire life under Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. There was so much love between Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Muhammad bin Abu Bakr that it is said that in the Khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali was the one who appointed Hazrat Muhammad bin Abu Bakr as the governor of Egypt. As the governor of Egypt. So it is only foolish for someone to say and to disrupt the deep love that the companions had within themselves. Hazrat Ali was the caretaker for Hazrat Muhammad radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Muhammad bin Abu Bakr, and then comes Hazrat Asma bint Abu Bakr. Hazrat Asma bint Abu Bakr, very famous in the time of Hijrat. Very quickly she was the one who provided food and drink for Rasulullah, and she did not have anything to put the food in. So the ladies at that time would have a nitaqa. Nitaqa is like a belt that the women would have at that time in their clothes, made out of simple material. So there was no time, there was no bag to put the food in. What she did is that she took out her nitaqa and she ripped it. And on one side she put the food for Rasulullah and the father, and with the other she wrapped it round. And she came and she gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at her and smiled at her and says, Zatan nitaqain, Zatan nitaqain. She is the girl of two belts. She is the girl of two belts. And this, the words that came out from the mouth of Rasulullah was so important for the companions, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala an, that she actually was known after that as Asmahu Zatun Nitaqain. Zatun Nitaqain. Why? Words came out from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She lived for a long time. She lived for more than 100 years. And she was physically fit. Physically, her eyesight was as normal. Hearing was good. She was completely fit. She lived for more than 100 years. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, very famous. She came into the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your brothers can bear with me, inshallah ta'ala, so that at least we can complete this topic. So inshallah in the next session we can talk on a different subject. So inshallah I'm trying to cut things short. I know you may get tired. But inshallah, we've only got Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Umm Kulsum. Hazrat Aisha was very close to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She came in the nikah to Rasulullah at a very young age. Very young age. Reason for that? So that she could become one of the great students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that she can become the mouthpiece and a transmitter to convey the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the women folks of the ummah. So all the rest of the wives were either mutallaqa, divorced, or widows. She was the one that Allah had selected. She was so important that Allah gave all the children to Hazrat Maria and Hazrat Khadija. And Hazrat Aisha, who was very close to Rasulullah, but Allah gave her no children. Why? Because her fundamental duty was only to transmit, only to convey the sunnah, the message to the ummah. And especially to the women folks. So she came in the company of Rasulullah at a very young age as a mahram to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she knew exactly how Rasulullah would eat, how he would sleep, how he would speak. Every body language of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was understood by Hazrat Aisha, and she was given that very sharp memory. That is why she is considered to be amongst the top ranked companions when it comes to the chain of narrators. She is holding the fourth position in riwayat of isnad, of the sanad of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fourth, that is an incredible position. When you look at all the companions, for a woman to be in the fourth position, when she came into the nikah at a very young age, and when she was only 18 years of age, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. 18, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 63 years of age, she was only 18. And the love she had for Rasulullah, it is said that she also passed away at the age of 63. Rasulullah also passed away at the age of 63. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq also passed away at the age of 63. Nismati ittihadi. Sha'bi would say, when he would narrate hadith, he would say, An Habiba binti Habib. This hadith is from Habiba binti Habib. That the narrator is Habiba, the most beloved of Rasulullah, the daughter of the one who was most beloved to Rasulullah also. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As, Huzur alayhi salam, was once was just looking at Hazrat Amr ibn al-As, and he thought that this is some relationship that Rasulullah has with him. So he took that opportunity. He says, Ya Rasulullah, who do you love from the companions? and Huzur alayhi salam looked at Amr ibn al-As, he said, Aisha. He says, Wa min al-rijali ya Rasulullah, from the men folks. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wa min al-rijali abuha. Then from the men you are asking me, the father of Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Subhanallah. So this is Hazrat Aisha. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has narrated hadith from her 54. And Imam Muslim, I think, has narrated 69 ahadith. Altogether, she has narrated 2,210 ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We get the modern world, when they want to criticize Islam, the first thing they talk about after parda and after the masail of inheritance, that women are given very less as compared to the children, and then they will very naturally, with a great flow, come onto Hazrat Aisha, that how can Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marry Hazrat Aisha? Well, if it doesn't come to your sense, then it is not our problem. We don't have to be apologetic and waste our time in explaining to them. We've got better things to do. We've got better things to do in this world. You want to believe? Believe. You don't want to believe? لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. For you, it is your deen, and for us, it is our deen. We don't have to have a guilty conscience. It is the hukum of Allah. Whatever age Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and comes to Rasulullah, as believers, we don't question anything that is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we had to give an answer, one must not forget that a lady in the time of Rasulullah who is 7 years in age, it is equivalent to a girl who is today 18 or 19. Hazrat Aisha had so much aql in her that at that tender age, when she was so young, she would give fatwa to grand companions, and they would say, Umm al-Mu'mineen, we want to ask you this, and she would say, Sami'tu min Rasulillah, I have heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she would issue a fatwa then, which was accepted by the men folks of the companions. And if somebody is questioning you, then you should even question back. We respect Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. When did Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam give birth to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? The Christian doctors say, as in doctors of the book, of the Bible, they're historians, they say that Hazrat Maryam was only possibility 10 or 9 years. 9 or 10 years. She was very young when she gave birth to Hazrat Aisha. This is not what the Muslims say. This is what they say. So one must not fall back. 7th century going back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her a lot of aql. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was born a baby, he spoke out. He was just a baby and he spoke out. So what is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an, though someone very young in age, but at the same time very mature in her thinking, very mature in her physical, in her physique, how she would stand out. So this was the great wife of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an. And then finally we come to Hazrat Umm Kulthum. Hazrat Umm Kulthum was the babe of them all. It is said that even before her birth, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was not there, passed away. So Hazrat Habiba bint Kharija, one incident that took place was once Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was with her father, and he said to Hazrat Aisha that, Aisha, you have 2 sisters. So Hazrat Aisha says that, I know one of my sisters, Hazrat Asma, and then it's myself. But when you talk about 2 sisters, which other sister? And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala at that time said that your baby sister that is in the stomach of your mother, Hazrat Habiba bint Kharija. Hazrat Habiba bint Kharija. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had passed away at that time. At that time, after that, the birth of Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala was there. Hazrat Umm Kulthum was married to Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anhu was married to Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now the thing to see here is Hazrat Talha and Hazrat Zubair were the best of friends, were also from Ashari Mubashara, and both of them were shaheeds. If you remember when I said that Hazrat Asma had complained to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam about Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Zubair was very close to Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala an eventually married Hazrat Umm Kulthum, and Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala an was also made shaheed. This is the family of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. All the wives and all the children that are mentioned in the book of Seerah and the Seer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. So the one thing which is very important, my respected brothers, we should not delay in nikah. We should not delay in nikah. We are opening the door of shaitan straight away. MashaAllah, if the right person is there, nikah should be done. When Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra passed away, Huzur alayhi salam was very sad. Khawla bint Hakim came to Huzur alayhi salam and said, Ya Rasulullah, you are tired, you are sad, these are difficult moments for you. My mashwara is, why don't you get married? And Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Khawla bint Hakim, now again, the concept of Bashar, that Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was a human being. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being. He got married. Nikah hua, bache hue, sab kuch. So he said that who can be like Khadija? Ruziqtu hubbaha, that her love was inspired in me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said that they are two. If you wish to marry someone who is mature and who was married before, then there is one lady whose name is Sauda bint Zama'a. She has embraced Islam though none of her family members are Muslims. And if you want someone young, spinster, unmarried, then the daughter of your, someone who is very close to you, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Aisha is there. Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Hazrat Khawla bint Hakim, I leave this responsibility to you, go and ask them. Hazrat Khawla comes, knocks on the door of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Umm Roman opens the door and she says, Mubarak, 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 glad tidings to you. And Umm Roman says, what? And she says that I come to you with a proposal from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for you to give your daughter in the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was smiling, but she says that wait for my husband Abu Bakr Siddiq to come. Now very quickly, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq comes and information is given to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq expressed great joy. He was overjoyed. But he said to Hazrat Khawla, look at the justice of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He says that Khawla, give me a bit of time to answer you that we accept this nikah. Why? Because Adi bin Mut'im had expressed some concern for his son to marry my daughter Aisha. So I had agreed, he did say to me that he wishes his son to marry my daughter. Now I have given my word to him, so I cannot say yes to you straight away. Imagine the justice. Subhanallah, Huzur alayhi salam mang khitab de rahe, and he is saying, wait, why? I have given my word. He went straight to Hazrat Adi bin Mut'im and he says, Adi, that proposals have come for my daughter. If you decline, then there is someone else who is ready. It is entirely up to you. Hazrat Mut'im ibn bin Adi looked at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. He says, I decline this. I wish my son to marry someone else. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was overjoyed. He came and he said to Khawla bint Hakim that I give my daughter in the nikah. So here we have someone who was a spinster, unmarried, marrying Hazrat, the only woman, marrying Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, Hazrat Khawla goes back to the house of Hazrat Sauda, knocks on the door. All the family members are non-Muslims at that time. And Hazrat Sauda was there, and her old father was there. And she says that, "Oh Sauda, I come to you with the proposal of Nikah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sent me." So she said that, "You have to ask my father." The father was an old man. She says that, "If my daughter is happy, then I am happy." Hazrat Sauda said that, "I am happy to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Now look at this. After Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra, two women come in the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Sauda radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. This was the simplicity in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Muslim men and as Muslim women, we have to understand the spirit and the ruh of Islam. Inshallah, if we can understand that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase us in hidayat in this world and also in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.